And let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have kept us this day, and we thank you for what we have received daily from you, through which you keep and preserve our lives. Teach us all to keep our hearts and our minds on you, that we may thank and worship you daily. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, our theme today is entitled, Where is Your Head At? And before the service began this morning, I asked one of the members, I won't mention the name of that person, where is your head at? And she looked at me with a puzzled look and said, it's on my neck. I said, that's correct. However, I don't believe that's what St. Paul meant in our passage today when we're going to focus in on Colossians, the epistle reading this morning. And this is a question that is posed in that epistle reading. St. Paul puts it this way, seek the things that are above and set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. On things above or on the earth. Where's your head at? Today we are going to direct our minds to the things above. So we're going to get started now. First of all, where should we not set our minds? Well, Paul says in this passage, not on things that are on earth. But it's not that things on earth are unimportant to us all, as our lives here on earth don't matter, and we should just walk around with our heads in the clouds, ignoring our callings or the responsibilities that we all have in our daily lives. That certainly would not be the way of love. But God has placed us in this world, each and every one of us, for a purpose. And he calls us to be a blessing to those around us. And so we have various vocations that we need to attend to while we're here. Perhaps we have a husband, a wife, a parent, a child, a pastor, a parishioner, a citizen, like Kyle, a ruler of a school, an employer, and a worker. We are also called to be a loving neighbor and channel God's blessings to others. Indeed, our life in this world does matter very much. And so what does Paul mean when he says that we should not set our minds on the things of the earth? He puts it this way. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. These are all sinful things. These are things that get into our minds on a daily basis. And sometimes they stay there. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness. All of those are mind things, but they can also play out in our lives by doing some wrong things. Wrong conduct, wrong behavior. And then Paul adds a few other things to the list. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. We know that sometimes what starts in the minds proceeds from the mouth, and beyond that, to the deeds that we do. I was reminded of that yesterday. I had an opportunity to go up to Fort Collins and play a round of golf at a nine-hole course. And we were paired with another couple, a man and a wife. And after the first hole, there were some very profound things coming out of the gentleman's mouth. Probably because I birdied the first hole and he didn't. And after that, I thought, uh-oh. And so as the conversation progressed, he found out that, oh, you're a retired Lutheran school teacher. I help out in church on Sunday mornings. And suddenly the conversation changed. And the words were more kind. and they weren't as profound. And in fact, he apologized. And again, those things, thoughts in our minds, plays out in things sometimes we say. So why is it important for all of us to keep our minds on things of above and not on earthly things? Well, many times those things can hurt other people around us. They damage our relationships, and they really we end up hurting ourselves. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk, lying, these things are not good, and they're not healthy for human beings, even though we may think so at the time when we're saying or doing these things. But then there are something more. By these things, we are also bringing on the wrath of God. As Paul sternly warns us, on account of these, the wrath of God is coming. There is the reality for each and every one of us, death and the divine judgment that comes. Do we take those things seriously? I sure hope we do. Our Lord Jesus also warns us similarly in the parable of that rich fool, part of the gospel reading today. There was this fellow who had set his mind solely on the things on earth and not at all on the things above. His covetousness consumed him. As Paul says, covetousness is idolatry. It displaces God in a person's life. A covetous person, when you think about that, is a person always thinking about what he can get and not about God, who gives him all things. There's always a desire for more, and we are never content, and we are never to pause to consider the place that all this stuff takes in our lives. And like that rich fool, we become very self-centered, very inward, very inwardly directed. And I thought about that also as we were coming back from the round of golf yesterday. The farmer, the rich fool who put all his grain in barns and he was going to build bigger barns. And as we were driving by the cornfields in northern Colorado up there, the corn was stripped. The hail had taken care of that. And it was sad to see that many people had put their stock in. Of course, that was their livelihood. But the rich young fool, as I ended up in this story today, he didn't reckon with the fact that, you know, you can't take it with you. I've heard this phrase before. I don't believe any of us have ever seen a funeral hearse that had a U-Haul attached to it. Death will come calling one day, perhaps one night, and after that, the judgment. And then the rich young man said this, "And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, and be merry." But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things that you have prepared, whose will they be?" The rich fool had set his mind on the things of earth and thus was not ready for that night. Put to death then those things that are on earth. Now, are we able to go on and do this on our own? And the answer, of course, is we can't do that. We don't stop those things that are sinful in our lives, that covetousness, that evil desires that we have, and so on, to stop them from coming into our minds. We don't have the power to do that on our own because our sinful nature clings too close to us. The world around us saturates us with these things. The devil tempts us with them. And then it's our own sinful flesh that ends up desiring those things. And so we like it. We like to set our minds on these things. And that's the problem. So who is it that will deliver us? I'm here to tell you this morning, it's God. God does, God has, and it happened in our baptisms. There God buried us, and he raised us up. There our sinful self went to die in what I would call a watery grave. A new self emerges. Paul reminds us in the second chapter of Colossians, "You have been buried with Christ in baptism, in which you were also raised with him." And now in Colossians chapter 3, he says, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self." Well, what do we have now because of what Christ has done for us? We have new life and we have eternal life. And that can change everything, including the kinds of things that we put into our minds. Set your minds on the things above. And it is from above that our new life has come. For us and for our salvation, it was Christ who came down from heaven, the only Son of God, sent to redeem us from our sin and our death, and to deliver each and every one of us from that wrath and judgment that was to come. Jesus did that. He did it for you. He did it for me. He did it for all people. By being lifted up on that cross, suffering wrath, and the judgment that all of us deserve. And now we are forgiven. You were dead in your trespasses, nailing our record of debt to the cross. So it is from above that our solution comes to the problems of sin and death and judgment that we each face. Again, where is our head at? Our head is Christ, and he has risen from the dead. He has ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God. And that is why we need to set our minds on the things above, because that is where Christ is. Paul writes it this way, "If then you had been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." He is seated at the right hand of God, and that is a place of honor. It is a place of authority. And he is ruling all things for the sake of his church. He cares for each and every one of us far beyond what we could ever imagine. And when we set our minds on those things above where Christ is, then we gain the strength to carry on each and every day amid all the sorrows and the setbacks of this life that we have. Ailments, adversities, heartaches, the hurts that come to us, they cannot overcome us now, and they cannot drive us to despair. Why? Because we turn to God. We turn to God in prayer, casting all of our cares upon him, knowing that we have access to the throne of grace that Christ, our Savior, has done for us. And there is more to come. For above, Christ will come again. He will come in glory to raise us up from death and to restore this earthly creation in a perfect wholeness. We will be a new creation, and we will live that creation for eternity. And that is what is coming for us. And so I go back to that question again. Where is your head at? Your head, the head of the church, is Christ Jesus, who is our Lord. He is our life, both now and for eternity. And he has come down from heaven. He has come down from above to save us from the wrath and judgment. And now is raised up on high. And from there he comes again to take each of us home to himself. And so this morning I encourage you to set your minds on Christ, and especially where he is, We can still attend and take care of all those daily duties that we have, but we'll do it much better. In fact, but we will not be consumed with those earthly and sinful things that lead to death. God will do this for us, and I'm reminded to remind you, we are baptized. We are children of God. Our heads and our minds are set on those things above, because that is where Christ, who is our living head, is for us. And so now, on this day, may that be our thoughts and our prayers, and may that peace of God, which passes all our human understanding, keep our hearts as well as our minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And in his precious name, God's people said, Amen. Amen.